for the truths that you've given us to rest in. I'd ask that we might grasp this in a more practical way and respond to you. And so I thank you for the promises. I thank you for the commands. I thank you for the encouragement that your word gives to us, that we can rest this life in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, that even when we are somehow trying to control the outcome, it's still there in your hands. We just pray that we could begin enjoying the process and walking it out with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God has a plan and a pace for you to live life and enjoy it. See, sometimes we go, yeah, I know God's got a plan and a pace. I just can't keep up. Or we live in such a way that we're not enjoying the process. And so for these last 4 weeks, I've been just looking at this idea of rush versus rest. The idea of how are you choosing to live life? Because runners learned that pace is a key to being able to sustain yourself. And oftentimes they'll even have a runner in a long race like the 10,000 meters, 15,000 meters, or in the marathons. There'll be somebody else who's running. They're not competing. They're just helping the other person keep pace. And so if we're going to become the people who rest in God's provision, we need to become people who will hear from Him and respond. Because rest really is a response to God. So let's look at a verse we looked at a long time ago here on the screen. I'd like you to read it with me because I think this articulates this idea again and again. And so as I share it with you, it's like, okay, I don't want to totally preach through the verse again, but I really do want to preach through that verse again. But I want to move from this concept into some of the practical. But this is the invitation from your Savior. Let's read it together. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. Friends, rest is a response to the God who provided. I think oftentimes we think rest is a response to ourselves. But even when they talked about the Sabbath, it was a Sabbath day, what? Unto the Lord. And so your life is to be lived as a response to Him, even in rest. And sometimes when we talk about rest for this long, it's like it begins to be, okay, I need to really take care of me. And we're right back into this culture, which is all about me. But it's not. It's about Him. And I don't think you'll ever rest the way He wants you to rest unless you make it to Him. And that's something that your pastor's learning. And as I teach this, I don't share these things because I've got it down. I share this because this is what I'm working out. And I think I shared at the beginning of the series. You know, when I came back from my sabbatical, there were many principles that God had been teaching me. And I just want to say, let me learn how to live this out in the real world and then come and share it with you. So today I want to move into, you know, some of the practices and the principles for resting. So the question that many of you have asked yourselves, or you've had someone who loves you enough ask you is, when will you slow down? You ever ask yourself that? Well, you know, and we have little thoughts sometimes. You know, well, when I get this next project done, then I'm going to slow down. Or when I finish that honey do this list, then I'm going to slow down. You know, or when I get past this family crisis, then I'll slow down. And some of you are chuckling, and I can hear that, you know, identification. And we all know that, you know, those things, they seem to string together, don't they? When I finish this, then I'll do this, and then, and it never stops, and so we never stop. In fact, one of the really obvious principles that came to me is, you know, you will never rest until you choose to. It's a choice. It's a response to Him. And so I just want to go through a few things today and take us back into some different scriptures about this. But this verse we just read just kind of sets us up for this first principle where Jesus says, come to me. Now, is that related to any particular day of the week? Now, that's any time, isn't it? And come to him. And all the way through the scriptures, we have the exhortation, just come to me. Just come to me. And some of you, I had somebody share it with me this last week. In fact, more than one of you. So I can't remember who exactly it was. But it was that thought of, you know, you go through and you've lost something and you're trying to find it and you're stressed about it. You're trying to take it. And then after you get frustrated, then we go, oh, Lord, could you help me? You know, and we come to him. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's right there. Why couldn't I think of that? Do you ever think that God might be just hiding things from you just so you'd come to him? You know, just so you'd start spending more time with him, you know? I think that's what my wife does. She hides stuff because I always got to go to her to find it, you know? So. But principle number one, start and stop your day resting in the Savior. You know, this is such an obvious principle, and yet it's such a frequently neglected concept that you would say, he said come, so I will. And if I get the chance to come to the Lord, wouldn't you want it to be the first thing that you do on the day? Wouldn't you want it to be? If you're going to get a perspective about how to pace yourself through the day, what I find is I got to start with it. And you may not have the personality type I do. You can be thankful for that. But if I start on anything else first, for my personality, it's very difficult to then go back and try and establish that sense of rest in him. I'm into that day. But if I start with him and I spend time with him, I get a perspective that changes the way I respond to family, changes the way I respond to circumstances. And I draw that out of my time with him. And so one of these things, it says again and again in the scriptures with Jesus, it says, and often he would arise before dawn and go aside by himself. And they would come to him. Do you remember that? And they'd say, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. And what did he say? Hey, we're going to the next town. Well, how did he know? He'd spent time with God. And so I want to encourage you. You really need to focus on your GT. All right? Do you know what I'm talking about? You need to have a consistent GT. God time. If you don't give God time, then you won't spend your time for God. You won't have that relationship that you need to be able to say, that's not for today. I mean, I'm one of these idealistic people who, you know, you sit down and you write out a schedule and you think of these things. And you say, okay, these are things we can do today. And I really just need to start and just cut that sucker in half. Okay, that's really what needs to happen. You know, because any project I come up with, it's always going to take two times as long as what I think it's going to take. And then there's always going to be those interruptions. If I spend time with God, I handle my day different. I learn to rest. Because rest is found where? It's found in his presence. It's found in his promises. And so when I get into the word, I read his promise, and I'm like, okay, I can handle this because he's with me. And so it'll build a perspective of living in rest, even in the midst of work, if you will take time for God. In fact, back here in Hebrews where we were last week, he says, you know, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Well, when did you take time to hear his voice? You know, I mean, we hear God in the midst of pain because then it's like C.S. Lewis said, it's the megaphone. And you're like, okay, God, I'm listening. But there's a lot of times where we're just rushing through our lives and we're not hearing him because we're not taking time for him. But Jesus put it very simply with his disciples, and it was right before he left. And for me, those last few chapters of John are just so, so rich. But he said what? He said, abide in me. Just live in me. Live it out. Let me be there. And so it is a choice of rest to start your day with the Savior. But then I find sometimes we can just press up until the end of the day, and then you basically just fall into bed. Anybody relate to that? You know, you just keep pushing. But I have found if I do that, then I don't sleep near as well as if I take time at the end of the day to put away those thoughts. There's stuff that comes into your day that you need to get out of your day. I was making salsa this last week, and you're chopping up all this stuff, and it was late. I think we finished the salsa at like 10:45 or something, and I'm getting ready to go to bed, and remembered something that had happened before. I said, man, my face is kind of itching. I'm like, oh, I gotta wash all that jalapeno residue off my face, because my face will start to itch. And I think, you know, as you go through life, as you're going through the stuff, there's stuff gets splashed on you. You know, Jesus called it washing your feet. You know, you need to take time at the end of the day to wash your feet. And you will rest different when you give it all over to God and say, okay, I'm going to sleep now, so will you please just go ahead and take care of this? Because I know you're not sleeping anyway, God, so all right. Turn it over to him. Galatians 2:20 says it this way. Do you read this with me? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is not longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've been crucified. Remember, we talked about that. We died to that old covenant. We've been raised to a new covenant. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I have this new life. And this life which I now live, how do I live it? I live it by faith in the one who died for me. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up. So I'm living by faith in the one who gave his life for me, because he gave his life to me that he might live his life through me. All right? And so there's a choice I make as I go through my day. Will I choose to rest my choices? Will I choose to rest my attitudes in his principles? And so resting is a daily choice to trust Christ as life. Not just that he's going to give me eternal life when I die by and by, all right, but that he is life for me today, and that he will give me the hope and the perspective to handle the pain I'm going through, to handle the pressure that I'm handling. And in that spot, I live life. See, sometimes when we talk about rest, we think that it's ceasing all activity. It's not inactivity necessarily. It's ceasing from self-initiated activity. I do what he invites me to do as I learn to rest. And then I am not so self-driven, and now I'm spirit-led. And I find it very interesting when I talk to people who are what I call driven. And I look at Scripture, and I go, I've looked for it. I really haven't found that verse that says you should be driven. What I find is you're supposed to be led. It's a response. And so resting is a response. And so we trust his power to empower us. You know, when you get into a car, what do? You sit there? No. You get in a car, you sit down, and you put a key into that ignition. Why? Because you believe that key is key to that car starting. And if you got cars like I got two Toyota Camrys, I can put the wrong key in the ignition. It'll accept, okay? It won't start, though. If you don't exercise the faith in the relationship to God in the way that he's calling you, your life's not going to be powered. But even so, then you turn it over, and the engine starts, and then what? You are going to make decisions, but you're resting what? In the power of the car to move that car. You don't start your car and get out back and begin to push. I mean, I've had some cars I had to do that when I tried to start them, but that's a different story altogether. But what we're talking about is that when you rest in God, it's the idea of trusting his power. It doesn't mean you don't make decisions. It doesn't mean you become a zombie. It means you live in the life that he's called you to under his power. You're making decisions. And so that's a start and a stop to refocus your mind every day on that. I'm living by his life, and I'm choosing it. Because it is God who is at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Isn't that an encouraging thought? That God is at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Encourage somebody next to you right now. Just tell them, God's at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Tell them. Go ahead, tell somebody that right there. Right there. That should bring you some hope. All right? God's at work. Okay? So, Jesus performed some miracles. And it was always interesting to see how people responded to the miracles that Jesus performed. And after he fed them lunch, you know, 5,000 people got free lunch. They kind of saw a gravy train. You know, they saw food. And Jesus left, if you remember that story, in the middle of the night, and walked across the lake, and everybody else was hanging out thinking, hey, lunch tomorrow. And they got up, and the lunch provider was gone. And it says they came across the sea looking for him. And when they came to him, and this is in John 6, it says, Jesus says, you seek me not because of me, but you seek me because you ate and were filled. You're just after the stuff. And I wonder how many Christians are after Christianity because they think, if I do this, I'll get this. It's a self-centered thing. But Jesus said to him, do not, and this is what just stuck in my mind here, do not what? Work for the food which perishes. Well, wait a minute, isn't that what you're doing all week? Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. When you work, who are you working for? There's this key issue. If we don't recognize who we're working for, remember that was a whole message we took out of Colossians 3. But I just want you to come back to this as a practical principle. That if you're not working for him, you're going to be out of balance when it comes to rest. And it was interesting. They say, well, what can we do that we can do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. And everybody's just like hanging on that one. Like, yeah, okay. What is it? How could believe him whom he sent. What? I want to work. Believe him. Until you believe God, you cannot work for God. It's not going to work. And so all of these principles are choices of response of faith. Remember, rest is a response to the God who provides. Okay? So what do we need to do? We need to establish restful boundaries on your work. Because work invades. Can anybody say that's true? That's true. It just invades. And then when you get home, there's that other work that just invades. I mean, sometimes I tell Susie, I says, I got to get away from this house because I can't rest here because And she does not nag. She is a wonderful woman that way. I actually have to tell her to nag me sometimes because I forget what she's told me to do or that needs to get done. But I have to get away from my house because there's so many things. As I look around the property, you go, oh, I got to do that. I got to do that. I got to do that. And it's like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to be exhausted. So establish restful boundaries for work. And some of you are retired and you're still wearing yourselves out. You know, and I'm not saying you don't work. The Bible says you work, but you change your pace, all right? So over there in Ecclesiastes, he talked about that guy that says he just never stops. Well, look with me at Psalms 127. I find this to be a really good perspective chapter. Psalms 127. One and two. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, God's not talking to contractors here, but if you're a contractor, listen up. Okay? I mean, the principle, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If you're building something that God's not building, what do you know? It's going to burn. It's going to come down. He says, but unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. If God's not protecting what you're doing, he says, it's not going to be protected. So this idea is, are you going to line up with God? Are you going to have his perspective? And then look at this one. This is one of those ones that always convicts me, so I'm just going to share it with you so I can get rid of my burden, okay? But it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Wait a minute. Does that mean you're not supposed to get up early? Does that mean you're never supposed to retire late? That's not what it says. What it says is, when you're doing that with the pursuit that I will obtain, that I will provide, that I will control my world, he says, you're not building what God's building. He says, that's vain. That's a vain pursuit. And that whole book of Ecclesiastes showed that to us. See, we can rush past God's plan for our lives and God's pace for our lives. And sometimes I think I've done it thinking, I'm not tired, so I'm okay. Now, I know I'm a little slow, but let me tell you something that I discovered. Sometimes rest is not about being tired. Is that a new thought? Sometimes rest is about being in relationship. Because you can run that schedule the way you're running it, and I don't care whether it's how you keep your house or how you keep your business, but you're successful in your income. You're successful in your energy. But are you successful in your relationship? Rest is about relationship. Remember, it's a response to him. When I respond to him, then I can respond to others. So establish some restful boundaries. Now, what are your boundaries? I can't set your boundaries. This is what you have to learn to walk out by the Spirit. Because what you need and what your spirit needs to be in rest is going to be different than mine. Some of those things will be similar. But here's what I found when I came to that idea of being gone for 10 weeks. And I know for a lot of people, you just go, oh, man, that would just, cool if I could just take 10-week vacation. Not exactly vacation, okay? It was great. But you know what I wrestled with most? Was letting go. Which, by the way, is what cease means. Rest, let go. We're wanting to control our world, but somebody else is already on the throne. am I willing to let His results come out if it's not what I want? You see, most of us say, oh yeah, I'm fine with God until what God lets happen is not what you wanted to have happen. And so here's what I found I was wrestling with, is that I had to release the results of your work to God, expecting His provision. Because what I want to do is not just do my job, but I want to determine the impact. Some of you know what I'm talking about? It's not that I did my job, but I want that, if you're in business, it might be that, and I want the boss to approve of that, and I want it to make this much money, and I want it to have this effect. You don't get to choose those things. You get to choose to be faithful. God determines the effect of your work. Friends, God gives the increase. Is that true? So we see that spiritually, but do you see that financially? My God shall supply all your needs. That you live in rest when you live in trust. You say, I'll trust God to provide. I find it shocking sometimes, but I have met some Christian atheists. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're people who live as though God didn't exist. And their profession, their doctrine aligns with God. But the issue of, are you resting with the outcome and I'm okay with that if it's not what I want? Develop a personal perspective about your work that comes out of the Word. That you can draw the boundaries. Because I want you to think about this. We live in a culture that says more is always better. And, you know, I can remember, I'm going to date myself here, when 12-inch TV was acceptable to me. And I can remember people coming over going, what is that? And somebody else can what? Can cultivate your discontent. And some of you got the 48-inch, and it is not big enough. It's not supposed to be a wall. And here's the problem. It's not the size of your TV. It's the size of your debt that it puts you in that then changes how you have to work so you don't have time to watch it, which you shouldn't even be doing anyway. We have all choose to embrace a value system that pressures you when it comes to work. The borrower becomes what? The lender's slave. That's the book says. And that's what pressures us. Can you choose to put boundaries on your work by putting boundaries on your spending? Now, we're going to be talking, I got a series coming up, Christ-like generosity. We're going to be talking about getting God's perspective on value. And what it means to give yourself away. But one of the ways we create pressure when it comes to work is because of the debt load that we put on ourselves. So, God came up with a way to put a limit on you. We talked about it some last week, called a day of rest, right? Take a day off. And so, but we spent some time walking through the concept that we are no longer under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant, because the new covenant is what? Better. Remember, we said better is better. He says it's a better covenant. So we're excited to be under a better covenant. And so the funny thing I find is when you release people from law, then somehow they think that law was bad. The Sabbath was made for who? Man, the Sabbath was made for you. It is good for you. It's how you respond to it that can be good or bad. And by the way, the problem that they had with the Sabbath was not the fact that they kept it, was the fact that they wouldn't keep it. We talk about it today, and the fighting that some of you have is about, oh, there's all these legalistic rules about keeping Sabbath. I'm so glad we're freed from that. That was not what they needed to be freed from. What they needed to be freed from was their workaholicism, that they wouldn't stop and rest. And all the rules were so they would have some guidelines to choose to rest, and they still chose not to. So you don't have the rules, but the rest is still God's plan. Celebrate a day of Sabbath rest every week. A day where you cease. A day where you stop pursuing your stuff and you spend it pursuing God. You take that direction. It doesn't mean there's this list of activities. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not talking about that. See, I can remember that. That's what turned me off to the whole idea of Sabbath. I can remember it as a child. We were doing something, and we came home from church, and we'd had this Sunday, the Sabbath meal. We had that big feast, and the family just sat around and visited and everything else. And we got out, and I went out and grabbed the lawnmower and was pushing it towards the front yard. I can still remember my mother saying, "It's the Sabbath. You're not going to do that." And I don't know if I had some smart aleck response. I probably did. But what she was pointing me to was a rule, and that's where you miss it, friends. It's the relationship that you want to pursue, not the rule. It's you're taking a day of rest to respond to a person, not just to stop doing stuff. That's why we get it so confused, why we have a hard time with it. Friends, intentionality is not legalism. To say, I'm going to take this day and I'm not going to do these things. That's just intentionality. It's when you say, if I do that, then I'm evil. If I do that, I please God. If I do that, you start setting up the rules and think you're going to be accepted on those bases, then you're going to miss it. But the idea of saying that I will intentionally choose to rest, to pursue God, and to restore my soul is God's plan and has been from the beginning. When you say it has to be from this moment in the evening till that moment of the next evening, and if you do this, this, and this in those days, then you've lost the blessing of God, you've missed the whole point. But don't miss the whole point of rest to avoid the legalism of the rules. Does that make any sense? You see, when you came to Christ, you were saved through faith, not by works. Is that true? It's not by works. Therefore, you're never supposed to do any good works, right? No, that's ridiculous. Okay, so just so you're not saved by keeping Sabbath, that doesn't mean you shouldn't rest. Rest is God's will for your soul and my soul. And I'm still wrestling with some of the values that exist inside of me to come to that perspective. And so it's important to stop striving, okay? But here's how it's put in Psalms 46, verse 10. We've used this for a memory verse all month. You can read it with me if you'd like. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Stop striving to be God by taking time to celebrate God. You say, well, I'm never trying to be God. Well, really? Aren't you trying to be God in your life? You're trying to make it come out, and if I work a little more, if I do that, then my world will be exactly the way I want it. Relax. There is a God, and the good news is, it's not you. That's why you don't have to worry. Because if you're in charge, you got lots of reason to worry. But if you're not in charge, then you can rest. We're not talking about not working. We're talking about getting his perspective, taking the God time. People tell me, I'm just too busy. I don't have time. If you don't have time to have time for God, you don't understand the point of what time is for. So take time. Take time to spend time with friends over a meal on a day of rest. Take time to spend with your family on a day of rest. And some of you, your family's scattered. But you know what? You can have a scheduled time that you're going to Skype them, or you're going to call them, or you're going to connect with them. Continue to build the family connection that God wants you to have. And days of rest are good for that. Small groups, you can take a day and celebrate God together. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll just put on, and, you know, modern conveniences are nice. I like my computer, you know, and I'll just put on worship music and just move from one song selection to another. And then I'll get tired of that mode of, and then I'll move to another. And I restore my soul. The songs refresh my heart. But it's not just that it's playing in the background while I'm doing stuff. I mean, I like music during that time as well. But it's the idea of just sitting and soaking in the truth. Friends, stopping is part of God's will at times. It's a choice. And then there's interesting. There's another time when we talked about the different times that Jesus revealed values to us. You remember the time John the Baptist had just been beheaded by Herod? And the disciples had all been out doing itinerant ministry, and they came back to Jesus. And they were giving him his reports. And he says, come away and rest a while. You know, if God, isn't it interesting that's right in there, that's the voice of God? Not only does he say, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, but those who are working, those who are doing the ministry, come on, they've only got 3.5 years to get this done when Jesus is here. We got all these people we got to reach, and we haven't seen everybody choose to come and follow him. Jesus didn't seem to have that problem. He was okay with the fact that not everybody was going to believe, that not everybody's going to follow. He cared, but he seemed to be able to leave that with Father. And he says, hey guys, let's just come away and rest a while. So beyond just the weekly day of rest, I have found that we need to plan regular, restful holidays and rejoice and remember God. Now, I could have just said, hey, just plan some regular holidays. But you notice I said plan regular restful holidays? Do I just need to say Christmas in this culture? It has nothing to do with Christ and nothing to do with rest. It destroys families with a debt load. But we need to think through right now, before you're into the press of what's coming this fall, and say, how do you want to celebrate Thanksgiving? Because we've got a culture that has 4 pro football games lined up for you to watch all day long. And if you don't like watching football, you can now go to the mall on Thanksgiving Day. Go buy some more stuff. Friends, this culture is selling your soul trash. And you have to choose to say, I ain't buying. See, many of you can do that real good with the telephone salesman. Okay? But you're not doing so good with the iBox. You know, you're not doing so good with that constant invasion into your life. Turn it off and pursue him. So take some time away. Jesus served sacrificially. He served until he was exhausted. You fall asleep in the middle of a storm in a boat, you are a tired person, okay? So we're not talking about not working until you're tired. But he also chose to rest. He chose to get away. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Rest is about delighting in the Lord. He says, rest in him. Wait patiently for him. Isn't it interesting that in that Psalm 37, check it out this afternoon if you want to, he talks about rest, and then he talks about waiting patiently. But we want to rest because we want it now. That's what's putting the pressure on us. Friends, are you celebrating your life, or are you just going through it? Take time for the birthdays. Take time for the anniversaries. Take time for the special memories. Even the sad memories. Spend some time remembering the people who've passed on ahead of you. Think about your values. Resting in Christ's work provides rest from our work. Paul talks about striving according to the power which mightily works within me. interesting tension. I want you guys to hear it and feel that. I'm striving by the power that works within me. My empowerment, my energizing comes from something within me, and I rest there in Him. Friends, resting is trusting in the work of another. Somebody else built this stool, but I can trust their work. When we talk about what Jesus Christ has done for us, we're talking about resting completely in His work. And there's situations and circumstances where you're resting, and there's situations and circumstances where you're not. And only you know, or maybe your spouse knows, or maybe some friends know, that they can see you're not at rest. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble heart, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls." It's interesting. We think rest is about your body. He says there's something that's happening in your soul. And that's what I find, is that there's a certain pace you can keep, but your soul won't get the rest that it needs. Friends, it's rest or it's rush. And there's very little in between. But He says, come. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You that we can rest in You, that You encouraged us to rest, that You didn't just say, you need to work harder, you need to work longer, you need to work faster, you need to get more done. Father, where is that message coming from? And help us cut it off. Help us step up to be faithful workers who are resting in You. And Lord, I thank You for those who labor in this family and how much ministry that they're accomplishing and the work that's getting done. And Lord, I just pray we could do our work at rest in our soul, trusting You with the outcome, pursuing the relationship with You and with others, for Your honor and for Your glory. And Father, for the one who perhaps has never come, I ask You to draw them today to come to You for rest. And for those issues that we're struggling with that we won't let go of yet, Lord, today we want to open our hands and receive Your rest. We don't know what the results will be if we stop striving, but we want to stop and rest in You. You are sufficient and gracious, and we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me stand to sing this next song. If there's a need in your life, that